And now, our speaker of the hour, Brother Ernest Lawls.
For our study this evening, we want to be talking about the Holy Spirit in conversion. There is much misunderstanding in the religious world concerning the operation of the Holy Spirit in conversion. Many honest souls have been led to believe that the Holy Spirit operates directly from heaven upon the heart of the sinner to bring about his conversion. Some have gone to their graves, lost for eternity, waiting for the intervention of the Holy Spirit to bring them to salvation. Others claim conversion by the direct power of the Holy Spirit and relate their experiences as evidence of their salvation. Their experiences, usually very emotional, varied, and unusual, are relied on as evidence of salvation more so than the positive teaching of God's Word. A false conception of the Holy Spirit as a mysterious, unknown power likely to descend from heaven anywhere, anytime, and take possession of the soul of man is no doubt responsible for much of the misunderstanding of the operation of the Holy Spirit in conversion. When we speak of conversion, we speak of a person being born again, regenerated, redeemed by the blood of Christ, one who has been reconciled unto God. A meaning of the term convert is to change into another state, form, or substance, transform. Now, all responsible men on earth are sinners by reason of transgression. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Man has become alienated from God by reason of his own sins. To be saved from his lost state, he must become converted, changed to another state, and become reconciled unto God. He must be transformed. He must become a new creature. The Apostle Paul stated most conclusively that one then is to become a new creature in Christ in order to become reconciled unto God. But the power of this transformation, conversion, or reconciliation is within the Word of God. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. He said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Here the Apostle Paul affirmed that God gave to the apostles the ministry of reconciliation, having committed unto them the word of reconciliation. The same apostle declared that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Romans 1 and verse 16. If the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, then the Holy Spirit does not have some separate or additional power to save. If the gospel of Christ is not the power of God unto salvation, and the Holy Spirit has additional or separate power, then who is responsible for the heathens in the lands where the Word of God is not gone? In lands where the Bible, the Word of God, is not gone, there are millions who have never heard of Christ or the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit operates upon the heart, directly from heaven, independently of the gospel of Christ, then why does He not go to the millions in lands where the Bible has not gone and convert them to Christ? Don't you know that it is necessary that we take the gospel to all men on earth in order for them to be converted, to be saved? Jesus commanded, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. The Apostle Paul declared that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. Now let's note the Spirit, the truth, the Word, and the seed. The Holy Spirit is the person who revealed the gospel of salvation to the apostles, whom our Lord had chosen as His ambassadors. So inseparable is this operation that the Spirit is said to be the truth. The truth is the Word of God, the seed of the kingdom, which received life from the Spirit by which one is born again. In 1 John 5 and verse 6 we read, "And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So said Jesus as he prayed to the Father, recorded in John chapter 17 and verse 17. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, in explaining the parable of the sower, he said, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1 verses 22 and 23 said, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Surely there can be no doubt about it. The Holy Spirit uses the Word, the truth, as the seed of which one is born into the kingdom. My friends, the claims of direct revelation since the close of the apostolic age are false claims. I don't care who makes them. I say that kindly. But they are false claims. Paul said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. Let us observe these characteristics of the Word of God through which the Holy Spirit operates. Can the Holy Spirit do more, separate and apart from the Word? Now, the Word is that which furnishes the man of God completely. Paul, guided by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, said, "For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." The Word, then, is that which enlightens man's soul, Psalms 19 and verse 8. The Word makes one wise unto salvation, 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul said to the young preacher Timothy, and he said that, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is revealed in Christ Jesus." Now, does the Holy Spirit, apart from the Word, do more than that? The Bible says the Word is perfect, converting the soul, Psalms 19 and verse 7. If the Word is perfect, converting the soul, then why the theory of the direct operation of the Holy Spirit? The soul is begotten by the seed, the Word of truth. The Spirit is the truth, as 1 John 5 and verse 6 states. And we are sanctified, purified by the truth, 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Now, the Word produces faith in the heart, Romans 10, 17. Faith, the Apostle Paul declared, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Does the Holy Spirit instill faith apart from the Word? The heart is purified by the Word, 1 Peter 1, 22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth." If the soul is purified by obedience to the Word, the truth, then what would be the work of the Holy Spirit, separate and apart from the Word of God, in conversion or in sustaining the Christian in his daily life? If God should today convert a soul by direct operation of the Holy Spirit, through miraculous intervention, he would set aside the whole scheme of redemption revealed by the Holy Spirit through the apostles in the New Testament. When Christ promised to send the Holy Spirit to the apostles to do His work in conversion, He said, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. John 16, verse 7 and 8. Without question, this work is to be accomplished through the Word, the Gospel, revealed to the apostles by the Holy Spirit. There is positively no case of direct intervention of the Holy Spirit in any conversion recorded in the New Testament. To ascertain how the Holy Spirit operates in conversion, we give brief attention to some conversion recorded in the New Testament. Let's note the Holy Spirit in the conversion of Lydia in the 16th chapter of Acts. My friends, if any recorded case of conversion of New Testament times during the days of miraculous works of the Holy Spirit should bear evidence of direct intervention of the Holy Spirit in conversion, the case of Lydia surely would be one. There was not a gospel preacher on the continent of Europe where she lived. From Sabbath to Sabbath, she was attending a prayer meeting on the riverbank, although she was some 300 miles away from her home. She was a Jewish businesswoman of Thyatira, or she was a most devout woman who had been converted to the Jewish faith. She worshipped God according to the dictates of her conscience, but obviously was not a Christian. Since there was not a minister of the gospel within hundreds of miles, why could not the Holy Spirit have converted her directly from heaven, independently of the gospel of Christ? Well, the simple answer is, the Holy Spirit does not, and never has, operated upon the heart, independently of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God to save the believer. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 tells us why. Paul said, for we have this treasure. The treasure then is the gospel of Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It was necessary for a preacher of the gospel, in this case, Paul, to present the word of the Lord by which this God-fearing woman and her associates might be begotten unto a new and living hope. To accomplish this purpose, God overruled the course of travel of Paul, Timothy, Silas, and Luke, who might have gone to Ephesus in Asia or Bithynia. But God directed Paul to go to Macedonia through the voice which beckoned, come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul concluded the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them, Acts chapter 16 and verse 10. All of these circumstances were incidental to the opening of Lydia's heart. The most essential circumstance was the necessity of a gospel preacher using the instrument of God's power, the gospel of Christ, to convert the soul of Lydia. Now the Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, opened Lydia's heart and she became a Christian. Acts 16, verse 14 and 15. The important question is, however, how did the Lord open Lydia's heart? Lydia heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and she was baptized. Now, the gospel, which is the power of God to save the believer, Romans 1:16, was the instrument which the Lord used to open Lydia's heart. She heard the things which were spoken by Paul. She understood, she believed, she was baptized into Christ. She became a Christian only. The Holy Spirit did not in any way affect her heart, independently of the gospel preached by Paul, before her conversion or in the process of her conversion. The record of the conversion of the 3,000 souls on Pentecost is found in Acts, the second chapter. We must not mistake the circumstances attending the conversion of these people for the conditions of conversion dictated by the Holy Spirit to the apostles. The apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. as had been promised by the Lord, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and also 5, and then verse 26. And then we find in Acts chapter 2, the opening of the second chapter, the book of Acts, the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was no part of the condition for the remission of sins obtained by the 3,000 converts. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit enabled the apostles to speak with other tongues, which astonished the multitude. For it is said, for every man heard them speaking in his own language wherein he was born. Speaking in tongues was no part of the conditions of their salvation, but it was a miraculous demonstration that caused the people to give attention and to hear the gospel proclaimed in their language, although spoken by men who did not speak their language. Incidentally, there are people today who claim to speak in tongues by the power of the Holy Spirit, as did the apostles. But it is very obvious they do not speak in tongues so that people of different nationalities can understand them in their own native tongue. There is not a man on earth today who can speak in tongues as did the apostles. I want to emphasize this point. My friends, there is not a man on earth today who can speak in tongues as did the apostles. The condition of conversion or remission of sins revealed by the inspired men of God on Pentecost were in no way related to the peculiar circumstances which attended their conversion. Having heard the gospel being directed by the Holy Spirit, they were pricked in their heart, and as believers they were told what to do to obtain remission of their sins. Peter said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Beloved, the Holy Spirit has a very distinct part in the conversion of every soul to Christ. No man is born in the kingdom of Christ without having been begotten by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. From the divine truth already cited, we have learned that the Spirit is the truth. The truth is the Word. And the Word is the seed of the kingdom. Christ proclaimed, ye must be born again, John chapter 3 and verse 7. The inspired Apostle Peter declared of the elect children of God, who heard the gospel, that they purified their souls in their obedience to the truth, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God. 1 Peter 1, verses 22 and 23. Hear it, my friends. There can be but one conclusion. They were begotten by the Spirit through the Word, the incorruptible seed. Man is therefore begotten by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God when he is converted to the Lord or born into the kingdom of Christ. Peter identified those who were begotten again, begotten by the seed, the Word, the truth, the Spirit, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, as the same people referred to in Acts chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Who heard and obeyed the first gospel sermon offering remission of sins in the name of Christ or by the authority of Christ. Peter proclaimed unto them the truth, the Word. He planted the seed of the kingdom in their hearts. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were saved. Acts 2:37 and 38, also verse 41 and 47. The divine record reveals, now when they heard this, not when they felt this, they were saved. They heard the gospel and obeyed the gospel, thus obtaining remission of sins. To Peter, Christ had declared, I will build my church, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. By the Holy Spirit, Peter used the keys of the kingdom by preaching the word, commanding faith and repentance and baptism for the remission of sins. Acts 2, 4, verse 14, 36, 37, and 38. The divine record reveals that they gladly received His word, were baptized. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2, 47. Later, the apostle wrote his epistle to them, declaring that they had been begotten again by the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. They were begotten by the Holy Spirit through the truth, the Word, the seed, and were baptized unto the remission of their sins, born of water into the kingdom of Christ. Christ declared to Nicodemus, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3 and verse 5. One is begotten by the Holy Spirit through the truth. Of his own will beget he us by the word of truth. James 1 verse 18. The 3,000 were born of water and spirit, born into the kingdom of Christ. They that gladly received his word were baptized. It was affirmed. Acts 2, 41. Peter declared that they were begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. John proclaimed that the Spirit is the truth, 1 John 5 and verse 6. And Christ declared that the truth is the Word, and the Word is the seed. John 17 and verse 17, when Jesus prayed to the Father, Sanctify them through thy truth, thy Word is truth. And the seed of the kingdom, the Word of God, contains then the spiritual germ of life. Therefore, it must be concluded beyond question that the 3,000 were begotten by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, born of water, baptized for the remission of sins, unto the kingdom of Christ, into the kingdom of Christ that He promised to establish, which was established on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. My friends, the church and the kingdom are one and the same. They are used interchangeably in the New Testament. They are synonymous terms. It must, furthermore, be concluded that at no time did the Holy Spirit act independently of the Word proclaimed by the apostles in the conversion of the Pentecostians. The apostles were divinely guided by the Holy Spirit in proclaiming the gospel. The Holy Spirit brought conviction to the hearts of the sinners who were converted through the preaching of the gospel of Christ.